Bibles with me to the book of James. God's not done with us in the book of James. We were in the book of James last week. Last week we learned, as I preached, that death can teach us many things if we will pay attention. James 4, 13 and 14 told us that life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. We learned that we should not make plans ahead of ourselves without making plans for the day that is sure to come to us all, which is our date with death. Now listen to me. I'm going to put my finger right here. Please understand, if you weren't here last week, you need to understand this. Just as sure as you're alive right now today, unless Jesus comes, you are going to die. And you need to be prepared for that day of death. You need to prepare for it. You prepare for everything else in life. You need to be prepared to meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when you die. We also learn that we as Christians are not to be living our lives in such a way, or we are to be living our lives in such a way that helps others prepare for this date of death. We learn that someone out there is counting on us to be the Christian God has called us all to be, and to be the witness to them in their time when the Holy Spirit comes calling to them. Now this morning, I had intended on moving in a different direction, but God moved me back to the book of James to explore the verses just beneath the scriptures that we dealt with last week. So let's look at James chapter 4, verse 15. James chapter 4, verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. As such, boasting is evil. Such for the person who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is a sin." Now let's read verse 17 again. We're going to talk about verse 17 two or three times. Let's read verse 17 again. "So for the person who knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin." You like that verse, don't you, honey? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would settle us. Lord, that you'd be with us right now. God, you'd help us to see ourselves in this scripture. This is a self-reflecting message. This isn't about looking around and wondering and saying, boy, I wish somebody was here to hear this. This is all about us, God. It's all about you. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak through me as you have this week. This isn't my message. This is yours. Help us, Lord, to proclaim who you are. Help us, Lord, to receive who you are. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. This morning, I'm going to preach a message that has become a cultural topic, a relative topic, because everybody has their idea of what, you know, they think this is, or what the Bible says this is. This is a very cultural topic. It's a message that I've had to deal with on a weekly basis for almost 2 years now. Really, I could go ahead and say my whole ministry, I've had to deal with this issue. This topic is most definitely the elephant in the room, because everyone is able to see the evidence of this topic in everyone else's life, but cannot see it very clearly in their own lives. I can sit here and I can see it in Daniel, and look, you know, I can see it in Brandy, and I can see it in Leah, and boy, I can see it in Luke, but I can't see it very, very clear in my life. Do you hear me, church? The title of this morning's sermon is this: Addressing the Elephant in the Room, Sin. Brother Frank, this isn't going to be very popular, is it? I'm probably not going to get many amens this morning. Amen. Everybody looks at everybody else's sin and says, boy, I'm glad I'm not a sinner like that. But we don't reflect on our own lives. And church, it's about time we did. It really is. So let's look. You know, what is this issue of sin? What is sin? Sin is the act of violating God's will. Now, if there's ever a point in time in this message, Mark, that we should have gotten an amen, it was then. Okay? It's the act of violating God's will. Sin can also be viewed as anything that violates the ideal relationship between an individual and God, or is in any shape, form, or fashion a diversion from the ideal order of human living. To sin has been defined throughout the years from Christian pulpits is to miss the mark, to fall under the standard. You see, God has set a mark for us to try to achieve. God has had a standard for us to try to achieve. Are we ever going to meet that? Well, when we die and we stand before Him, we really are. But we're to try to constantly try to achieve this perfection that is in Christ. Church, we need to understand a couple things that y'all have heard me say throughout the years before we get really in depth with this. And listen, I want to persuade you, this is not going to be it. I've said this earlier. This is not a popular message. I'm going to be honest with you. If you listen to the first part of this message and you shut me down and you don't listen to the totality of this message, some of you are going to be looking for Bill and Gary after this and say, we need to run that preacher off. He's a heretic. Don't do that. You better listen to the end. You hear me? Do you hear me? Church, we're all sinners. All of us are sinners. Every single one of us are sinners. We all sin. We cannot and should not look at ourselves in the mirror and proclaim, "How great thou art," every single morning, because in our eyes, we have a better control of sin than people that we encounter. Listen, this is just not the case. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us." But still, that's what we do. Boy, I tell you, I am so glad that God has come into my life, and I'm not the sinner that old John is. John's a bad sinner. I'm a good sinner. Scripture also says in Isaiah 64:6, "All our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." So if we look at this thing, our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we all sin. Church, in light of understanding 1 John that I'm a sinner, and now understanding that through Isaiah I have nothing righteous in me, I have got to, and you have got to understand that we need to worry about our sin and keep our mouth shut about everybody else's sin. That was a good place for an amen, wasn't it? God, listen to me. God has not called me or any of us to be the sin police. Now, this is a critical place. Listen to me. If you shut me off right here, you're going to be going to Bill and say, Bill and Gary, and say, listen, Brother Kyle spoke some scripture. He didn't. If don't cut me off, you better listen, okay? Because I don't want to have to deal with you in my office here in a little bit and saying, you should have listened to the message. The only sin any of us are to condemn and to mourn this morning is the sin that we know is in our own life. I'm not the sin police. God didn't call me to be the sin police. Woo! Jennifer, hey, listen, by order of the Bible, I'm a preacher. You're sinning. Jeff, can you testify? Would you like to be a witness in the court of law? God didn't call me to be the sin police, but He did call me to do something. And He called you to do something. He called us all to do something. So let's address what we as Christians consider, I hate when people do this, big sins. The big sins. Can we address some big sins? And I want to go straight to the top of where we are culturally today that I have to deal with on a regular basis. 2 or 3 times a week. Let's go straight to the top. But as we consider these sins, I want to be very clear here. Scripture does call them sins. Okay? Scripture calls them sins. But what I want you to see is how we as Christians make them big sins. Number one, let's go ahead and get our culture first and foremost out of the way. By addressing the most out of the way first, homosexuality. Is homosexuality a sin? As Christians, we do not have the luxury to have an opinion on this topic. The Word of God says that it is a sin, so God could care less what we think, what I think. Sin is a sin, and God calls it a sin. Now, we've addressed that. You go through the Bible, you start in the book of Leviticus, you go all the way through, and you see how God has addressed it. Because it's not important. God doesn't care what our opinion is. Well, I think, you know, culturally we've come to a place and time where God's changed His mind. I haven't seen that. We understand that God calls homosexuality a sin. Now, I want to ask you this. How are we to act towards it? Because this is important. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where Christians need to pay attention this morning. Now, this is how I'm to react. Church, I am not a homosexual. It does not affect me. I am not the sin police. My job is not to point out their sin and call them sinners. It is my job to respond with Scripture. Listen to me. When asked. When asked. And to love them to Jesus the same way that Jesus loved me. I'm not the sin police. I'm not to walk through Walmart and see two men holding hands and say, "Woo, look, there they are." Or two girls holding hands and say, "Whoop, look, there they are." Did y'all know that you're sinners? And listen, this is where we as Christians... Now, remember a second ago, I said, when asked. If you're a Christian, I promise you, if you're letting your light so shine, somebody's going to ask you. And you need to be able to defend yourself or really just show people what Scripture says. Amen? You really do. But in no shape, form, or fashion, this is where people get Christians. And this is where we get our bad name. Yes, it's a sin and you're going to hell. Who gave you that right? See, this is where Scripture talks about judge not lest you be judged. I do not have the power to judge anybody. Neither do you. Only one does, and that's God. That's Jesus. He has the right to judge. We don't have the right to judge. I had a family member this past 2 weeks when my father passed away. We were walking and talking, and this person asked me, she said, you don't think that I'm saved, do you? Y'all ever heard that before? And I said, listen to me, it doesn't matter whether I think you are or not. It does not matter whether I think you are or not. Listen, I can't look at you or you or you or you. I can't look at you and tell whether you're saved. I can look at your fruits and see that you're walking a certain direction or you're walking away from a certain direction. But I can't judge anybody. It's not my place. It's not your place. It's not anybody's place to judge anybody. It's not. When we are asked, you need to be prepared to give an answer. And listen, and do like any other. Is homosexuality wrong? According to Scripture, it is. But can I tell you that I love you anyway? Knew it was going to get quiet, Mark. Let's deal with another big sin, can we? Murder. Now, how am I to react to this sin of murder? Somebody murders somebody. Somebody, you know, murder. It happens every day in Savannah, doesn't it? I'm thinking about toting a gun in the pulpit. Just in case somebody crazy comes running down the aisle. Well, that ain't going to happen. It has happened. It happened in Texas not too many years ago. How am I to react towards the sin of murder? Church, I am not I'm not a murderer. It does not affect me. I am not the sin police. My job is not to point out the sin and call them sinners. It's not my job. It is my job to respond with Scripture when asked about this issue and say, yes, murder is sin. It is sin. God calls it sin. But I love you. Do you know how shocked people would be if we started living Scripture? I don't have the ability to condemn or accept you. I don't. But I do have the ability to love you for who you are and where you are. Amen? And so to each and every one of us. Let's talk about a few more real quick. And we're going to just, you know, touch these. Because, listen, this is what Scripture says. Don't get mad. People get mad at me. Listen, according to Scripture, adultery is sin. Premarital sex is sin. Our culture accepts it. You have to drive a new car or test drive a car before you buy it, right, Jeff? No. Premarital sex has always been and will always be a sin. Sex with outside of marriage is sin. Listen, divorce, according to Scripture, guess what? It's sin. Sin again. Church, listen to me. They are all sin according to Scripture. We cannot deny nor refute this fact. It's scriptural. Now, how am I to react to these sins? Church, I am not committing adultery. Amy won't even let me have a girlfriend. No, I can't. She said, I can't afford one. No, I can't. I am married, so I'm good on the premarital sex part of the sin. And if Amy tries to leave me, I'm going to go with her. She's not going to divorce me. So this doesn't affect me either. Listen, I am not the sin police. My job is not to point out their sin and call them sinners. It is my job to respond with Scripture again. Listen to me. When asked. And say, yes, it is a sin. But I love you. I love you. Do you know how I'm able to do this? And listen, I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm not raising me up. I'm not saying. I promise you, I'm not saying how great thou art when I look in the mirror, okay? I recognize my sin. I understand that I sin. Every single day, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I'm under the grace. I'm under the blood. And without that blood, without that love, without that mercy, I couldn't be standing here this morning. I am to show the same love that Jesus showed me every single day of my life. Now that we've looked at some big ones, let's look at overlooked sins. Those are not addressed or easily, they're more easily overlooked. Because we as a culture, you know, we can handle these, but this isn't that bad. These are small sins. But sin is sin. It's missing the mark. You hear me? You know, let's go back to our culture. Can I tell you that obesity is sin? Being fat is sin. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, our bodies are our what? Temples. Now, we ought not always be on a treadmill, but I mean, listen. We ought to take care of ourselves. We should, to the best of our ability. But Tony, I'm not the sin police. You're not going to see me running down to the buffet, Golden Crow, and people going back for their third plate, me, you know, slapping it out of their hand, saying, listen, don't you know what Scripture says? You're to take care of your body. Woman, look over here. This is the dessert. Women, listen. Golly. This is the dessert bowl. You got a plate. Come on, man. Yeah. John, I'm not the sin police there. Well, hold on a second. You're supposed to do this, but you're not. Hey, listen. No, God didn't call me to do that. How about this one? Ooh, golly. I almost don't want to say this one because I'm agreeing with my wife. Did you know that worrying is a sin? Matthew chapter 6 tells us that we shouldn't worry. Why do you worry? Well, why do you worry? How about this? Do you know that doubt is a sin? Doubt. doubting the love and faith of God. Listen, it's a sin. Here's another one. Do you know that fear is a sin? Being scared of doing what God's called you to do, that's a sin. Church, the fact of the matter on this topic of sin is not our place to have big sin list and a little sin list. All sin is sin. All sin separates us from God. All sin costs Jesus something. Now, I'm very much aware that there's some sin in Scripture that's called different things. I'm aware of that. But that sin, we're still to react in the same way. Yes, it is a sin. Yes, God doesn't like it. Listen, but I love you. Church, how should we evaluate sin? We as Christians should not ever evaluate another person's sin. Unless that sin personally affects your life in a dramatic way. When this happens, Scripture tells us in the book of Matthew that we are to go tell that person, we are to go tell that person one-on-one and talk with that person and say, you have sinned against me. And if they are willing to apologize, if they'll apologize according to Scripture, listen, we as Christians are to restore them. Well, that's no fun. That's no fun. I would rather go to a person and say, listen, you sinned against me, condemn them, kick them to the curb, and never associate with them again for the rest of my life. That's a lot. Listen, that's what we do. But that's not what Scripture tells us to do. If a person has sinned against us, we are to go to them one-on-one. You know why? Because we call ourselves Christians. If we call ourselves Christians, we need to meet the standards that God tries to set for us. Amen? If someone has sinned against us, we are to go talk to them and say, listen, you've sinned against us. You don't need to have problems, you know, between yourselves. And if they'll apologize, you need to restore them. I know that's not popular, church, but it's scriptural. Church, nowhere in Scripture do I see that I myself or any other person has the right to tell anyone, no matter how big or how little their sin is, that they're going to hell because of their sin. I see nowhere in Scripture where I have the right to do that. That's God's place, the Holy Spirit's place, and the Word of God's place to do, not mine. Do we do that? You're going to hell because of that sin. You're going to hell because of that. You're going to hell because of that. Do we have the right to do that? No, we don't. Now, church, it is our job as Christians not to be ignorant. That's a good place for not. Amen, Mark. We don't need to be ignorant. It is our job as Christians to be able to give the scriptural answers to questions that people ask about sin. If someone asks us, we as Christians should say, yes, it is sin. But if you repent, God is faithful and just to forgive. But listen, please know, God has called me to love you no matter what. You see, I am an extension of the love of God. I am a picture of His mercy and His grace, and so are you. We live in some difficult times. We really do. You know, Christians are getting a bad rap because we stand on the Word of God. We're called haters. We're called, you know, ignorant. We're pointing to the Scripture that's irrelevant because Jesus didn't say this. Now listen, I want to show you something. I want to explain something to you. Jesus didn't have anything to say about pedophilia, did he? Is it wrong? Oh, yeah. Jesus didn't have anything to say about it. Have y'all read anything about Jesus saying anything about child pornography? I haven't. Is it wrong? Is it a sin? I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Listen, if the Word of God says it, it is the inerrant Word of God, and we need to stand with it. Amen? what I said about being ignorant is this. Christians, you know, this is what we do. When somebody asks you about anything, sin pertaining, this is what we have a problem with. We'll say, well, this is my opinion. That's the problem with the world, church. Everybody's got an opinion. We need to stand with Scripture. Do you hear me? If we're not standing with Scripture, we're on sinking sand. But no matter the sin, listen, no matter the sin, we're to look at that person with the same grace that was given to us and to say, I love you. I love you. Can I pray with you? Church, I believe right now it would honor God for us to do something that God already knows that we should do. We should admit to God that we've had some misconceptions on this issue of sin. Let's look one more time, one more sin this morning as we close. Let's go back to verse 17. Let's go back to verse 17, James 4, 17. So for the person who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is a sin. How does that feel? For a person to know to do good and he doesn't do it, it's a sin. Church, let's look at ourselves this morning. God wants you to look at yourself. You do have the right to judge one person. Yourself. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we do love you and we thank you for the grace and mercy that you've extended to us. God, you're worthy and you're righteous and we're not. Even the very best things that we do according to the scripture we read is like filthy rags. God, help us to see ourselves this morning. Help us to understand that we need you. God, help us to understand what Scripture says. If we don't accept you as our personal Savior, it's not our opinion. It's what you said. You said we must be born again. And if we're not born again, we're on our way to hell. Lord, help us to see ourselves this morning and to cling to you. You are the righteous judge. You are the only judge. Help us, Lord, to cling to you. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this morning? Do you need to come down to the altar this morning?